The belief that Jesus died for our sins is central to the Christian theologies. As their followers participate in the rituals of the so-called Holy Week, we invite you to join us in an exploration of these dogmas. What was the real message of the crucifixion and the resurrection? And would the ascended Master Jesus want you to focus on these morbid rituals? What if this story was meant to distract us from truth? Welcome back to another episode of Journey into the Vortex, where metaphysics meets real life. My name is Mary Roseman, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Marcella Nitschke and Heather Wells. We are three ordinary women who have seen our lives transform into the extraordinary through the discovery of metaphysical laws and principles. And that is exactly what we want to share with you each week as we explore how expanding your consciousness through metaphysical awareness can bring clarity, purpose, and transformation into your life. So, let's begin. Hello there and welcome to Journey into the Vortex. And this week is Holy Week, and we thought, what a perfect subject to talk about. And so, I was really not aware that it was Holy Week until Marcella texted me and suggested this as a subject. And it was interesting because I'm sitting there thinking about it and I'm like, wow, once upon a time, I would have felt incredibly guilty because Holy Week was about Holy Thursday, Stations of the Cross.
Palm Sunday. Is that when it starts, Palm Sunday?
It starts on Palm Sunday, that's right. And then, yes, mm-hmm. Stations of the Cross, fasting, mm-hmm. Confession, washing your feet. What else do we do? Visiting the seven churches. Well, there's even more in Peru. They visit the seven churches and mm-hmm. all these things.
So explain to me, what is Lent? I mean, all I know is of Lent as friends that you are sacrificing, like you are giving up something. How does that?
I think it's the 40 days that precede the Calvary, the when he was arrested and everything started. I think that happened on Thursday, right? Thursday was the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, and then he got arrested. Well, this is the story, right? But it's supposed to be 40 days of penance.
Didn't he go into the desert and meditated? Yeah.
So why did the no meat come into play? And you have fish on Fridays during Lent.
So as far as I know, the obligation to abstain from meat was came from like the bishops' conferences. They are entitled to create all these rules because Jesus said that their disciples have that authority and blah blah blah. What Catholics say. And from there, I think it extended to other Christian religions.
Exactly. And here's kind of my point. When you brought up Holy Week, I realized how robotic I was with all of this.
You weren't questioning what?
I didn't question anything. I just did it. I remember the time that I accidentally went through a drive-thru and ordered a burger on Good Friday. And I'm taking a bite and I realize, and I go throw the burger away.
And you probably spit it out and wash your mouth out.
Oh, my goodness. But none of it was contemplative. And do you remember I remember going to Stations of the Cross on Fridays throughout Lent. What's your general attitude about the slow process, the slow presentation mm-hmm. of the crucifixion?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a way that religion appeals to the need for drama. But I do remember the feeling of holiness that we're programmed when we're, I don't know, other religions, but Catholic. And I do remember, I observed the fasting. I would not eat meat during any Friday during Lent. Mm-hmm. I would fast and I would... They create in you a need to feel holy. And so you feel good about that because you think you're being holy, you're doing good, something that will please some external God. I really am trying to understand what exactly went through my mind when I was doing those things, because I did question, I did contemplate. I didn't do it like robotically. I did it because I thought it made me feel good to do it. And yet I think at that time I didn't know what feeling good spiritually really meant. So it was like a little like icing there that it feels good and it satisfies some need, some spiritual need. Mm-hmm. But that's because that's all we knew.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's very interesting how that, and I understand why humans still, you know, observe, whether they question it, whether they don't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do feel like they feel satisfied with their religious practice when they do all these things.
Right. Well, like Lent, for instance, friends to this day and growing up, I'm giving up chocolate for Lent and I'm giving up.
Get out of my head.
Something that.
I remember I did that one year. It wasn't Easter Sunday. It had to be Monday, the day after. I went to Swenson's and had myself a sticky, chewy chocolate hot fudge sundae.
Yeah.
Which is, and it tasted so heavenly. I didn't have any contemplation, Marcella. And then I remember the first time I went to Stations of the Cross, I was so appalled by it. I mean, let's go spend a whole evening as we contemplate and watch at each little area or station that they called. And there's one attributed to the nails going in his hands and the grueling pounding and the bleeding. And you're just like,
wait. Are they actually doing a ritual or a visual?
Yeah, well,
are they talking about it?
Okay.
Like a pretend Jesus up there?
Okay.
Okay.
You will notice these pictures. And my childhood church had them in granite. And they're pictures of Jesus station by station of when he's taken. And the thorns are put on his head. And all the blood just gushing down, you know, and you can't hardly see because the blood is everywhere. And then the next station they'll pause at, and it's grueling because he's carrying the cross, right? And he's stumbling and he's falling and he's getting whacked because he dropped the cross and he has to pick it up and he's carrying it again. And they just station by station, they tell
this
story.
Are people acting this out?
Oh, honey, we are sit, standing, kneel. Kneel, sit, stand. It's like an hour and a how long does it take? Your back is so sore. And you have to keep, according to the thing, you reply to certain things.
Oh, right.
Okay. Right. So, and you have to be intended. If you're not, as a kid, you're going to get one of those pinches and turn around.
Well, not anymore. They don't do that anymore, Mary.
And then when I got to Kansas City, it was a whole different thing. They did the Stations of the Cross, followed by a doctor who came in and told you what each crushing of the bone or whatever and how much pain Jesus would have been in.
Suffering.
Yes. Can you imagine?
As a child? No.
And I just remember as a kid looking up at the crucifixion all of the time and just thinking, so confused as a child, but you know, it just,
what did I do?
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me. And yet here's the weird thing. When you were talking about that good feeling you got, I remember it was almost kind of like, there was a yearning there and hoping that I had fulfilled, but still it wasn't enough for me. I didn't know how to contemplate the bloody Jesus and what had happened. So that's what I want to know. I mean,
it sounds like
my
a drama
common
TV
sense
though.
Tells me, would Jesus really have wanted us to commemorate a whole entire week focusing on the grueling way in which he exited this world, his body left.
And we don't even know that if that was the case. I think they're dramatizing, and maybe, maybe not. But bottom line, we know that Jesus was a master of energy and he could just leave that body. The body would still be there. He wouldn't feel anything. And we know that it was, there was no pain or suffering because he can't, right? That's the whole message that was completely told in a different way. You cannot crucify the Son of God. That was the whole message, right?
Not according to
the Christians got.
No.
I mean, I first read that, I was shocked. And yet, did it not confirm everything that I thought? I hated Stations of the Cross, and I refused to go as an adult, and I never took my daughter to one of those. I just, in my heart of hearts, no matter how devoted a Catholic I was, I believed Jesus was saying, don't go, don't do that, do not participate in that, do not put that small child through that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And so when I read that in the Course in Miracles, what you're speaking of, it confirmed what I felt, but at the same time, I had to go, no, let me read that again. What?
Was this is the Stations of the Cross during Holy Week? Is that on Good Friday?
That's Good Friday.
Why do they call it Good Friday? That's what I'm wondering. Why is it called Good Friday when it's so bad? And so they're also like teaching children even now, like, don't question, don't think for yourself, don't.
And also the indoctrinate them into thinking they're sinners, they're undeserving. That's a huge message that they give. But I think, it's been my experience, I think that even there, the universe is benevolent, because I was a very, very devoted Catholic for many, many years. I was mm-hmm. even a Eucharistic minister, befriender minister. Right after college, I would go to church every day, 5 a.m. before swimming. I would be going to Mass. It was crazy. But I was yearning for that, you know, for mm-hmm. that spiritual yeah. nourishment. And I think the universe listens to your desire to fulfill your that yearning, and it presented to me. Of course, it had already happened in the past, because when I was very young, I was very interested in the Eastern religions and meditation and everything. That never went away. Mm-hmm. But Catholicism was so programmed in my, you know, in my upbringing, that I looked for whatever I was yearning, I looked there, and I said, well, I can find it here too. And I tried mm-hmm. and I tried.
Right.
And then it's just like the universe guided me very strongly at that point, mm-hmm. I think, in the right direction, away from religion and into spirituality.
Right.
But the one thing that a lot of parochial schools or Catholic schools teach during these days, they do focus a lot in the suffering Jesus mm-hmm. That, you know, died on the cross for your sins. And that is, I think, that needs to be questioned and challenged and really think again.
There's a whole section of this, but I can't recall. You will. Course in Miracles teaches about it.
Jesus says in the Course in Miracles that we actually got the crucifixion upside down. It was meant to be a call for peace, a message of knowing that the Son of God cannot be assaulted, cannot be crucified. But the message wasn't understood, and it became a symbol of the ego, of extreme assault, of projection out of guilt.
So you're projecting.
Right. Yes, the Course in Miracles teaches us that when we decided to split our minds from the mind of God, when we decided to separate, we started living in the world of duality, the world as we know it, good and bad. And so at that point, it was the ego that we identified with ourselves, or as individuals, not as a sonship, but as individuals, as egos. From there, we started feeling the guilt, to cope with the guilt, with projection and judgment. But the Course teaches us that those are all man-made concepts: judgment, condemnation, assault, crucifixion. In the mind of God, there is only peace and only love.
This is what Jesus came to teach
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly. Not this suffering part. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, the world of duality in which we believe is completely different. So the message of the crucifixion was to prove that you cannot assault and condemn the Son of God. And the resurrection was the proof that no matter what you think you did, it hasn't happened. In reality, there is only love and there's only life. And the call is for us to wake up from that dream, from that belief in death and in sin. There is no sin. The Son of God is holy. Throughout the course, we are told time and again that the Son of God is holy. And when we don't act in a holy way, it is because we are in darkness. We are not, all we need to do is wake up. There's nothing to be condemned. There's nothing to be judged. Bottom line, the course says there is no sin. So that's a big difference, isn't it?
But no, I've been told all these years, you know, and I'm describing the mortal sins. And I remember the nun doing that in the venial sins. And she'd really make the mortal sin black. And, you know,
really, like, what did they think you were doing to sin? I guess I don't.
Especially in first
what
grade.
What are you sinning?
You know,
how are you sinning as a child? Like, because you talked in class? I mean, was ever.
Talk back to
no, you were born with original sin.
Right.
Oh, so, that's correct.
Yeah, you inherited all that. You.
So you're just screwed. You're just born here. We're just.
And that's how the Catholics saw it.
Right.
And then one day the Southern Baptists, when I was working in this place, they just believed that human beings are inherently bad.
Bad, evil.
They do. Evil. That's their words. We're just inherently evil. And it takes due diligence to be righteous and stay on the path.
But that's a good way to control masses.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Now, the original sin may have some way to interpret it that makes some sense, right? Which is, going back to the Course in Miracles, when we decided to split our mind from the mind of our Creator of the universe and start creating on our own, that could be like the fall, you know, from the fall from paradise, or when the tree of good and evil. It makes sense to say, well, that's when this whole thing started, when we ventured away from the mind of God, trying to create. But the Course in Miracles says ideas do not leave their source. You had the illusion, you did, and because you're a creator, they let you live your illusion.
But I think the example, like your own children, they separate, you know, they are meant to kind of go off on their own and make mistakes and explore, even though as an adult, you want to tell them had to learn.
You're making
things.
It sound nice. Yeah. And you know, but the original sin
it's hard for me to process. But and that's when we created our egos. Right.
Well, when the mind started, well, according to the Course in Miracles,
yes,
when it split from the mind of God, that's when the what we call the ego, a split mind, a mind that is not connected to source, that thinks everybody's an individual. But again, the Course in Miracles says it's just an illusion that you're living. So don't take it so seriously. Just wake up.
Well, and I feel the God I know is pure love. Like there is no judgment. There's no opposite. So I think in church we've been told, yeah, somebody is up there judging us for our sins.
And
it's worked for centuries.
It's like you said, too, and I know I did, like I shared with you in 1990 when Course in Miracles came into my life, I said, no way, I'm staying Catholic. Well, once truth trickles somewhat into your life, you start yearning for more. And the status quo does not fulfill you. And it doesn't matter whether you are not seeking it or not. Truth is truth. Whatever your path is, the universe is going to set you on it. And so one opportunity after another is going to occur for you until you start exploring this. So what does Holy Week mean to you now?
It doesn't mean anything. The one thing that makes me think of is how many minds are still thinking that they're sinners and they're feeling and they're just following those dogmas that tell them that they need to make up for their sins and that they crucified Jesus and that Jesus suffered in the cross and all that, instead of really, really looking for the real teachings of Jesus, which are amazing. And it's all about metaphysics and it's all about principles and love and forgiveness and
miracles and healings. Exactly. And
yes, high vibration and
awareness
and love. Mm-hmm. Never ever to condemn.
So I think if you read the stories, Jesus was not going around condemning people. Like he was not going around pointing out people's sins.
Right.
He was healing, like you said, teaching the metaphysical laws and of love. And
but you know how much money you can get from someone that you're making them feel like, not to judge them again, but the call is not to judge the ones who are doing it. The call is to the ones who are following. Think again.
Just think again. And
just sit, meditate, contemplate, ask Jesus to show you, and it will happen. Like I said, you know, it was in Catholicism that I was, when I was practicing my Catholicism, that I was made aware that there was another way, that was not the way.
Right.
And it will happen. Even if you want to stay Catholic, or you think you want to stay Catholic, still you'll get your answers. If you really want it, you will be shown the way. It's going to turn you around, maybe.
Every week is Holy Week. You should always be filled with what you're talking about and always have a contemplative awareness about you.
I think it happens naturally when you're on the path. Just every day is Holy Day. Every day you are aware. Every day you're having your spiritual practice and you're dedicating thought and
helping people understand you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in with guilt and shame. And that's not the way.
Right.
So Easter may not be a bad thing, you know, because people are at least focusing on abundance. They're focusing on celebrations, on gatherings. The one thing I don't like is that eggs thing, and I never did. When Ian was little, we would do this
at Easter egg hunt.
Oh my gosh, he's trying to, okay, please don't put candy in those eggs. Please put, I don't know, stickers, whatever, right? Because then you poison these kids with
sugar. Too much sugar.
Yes. And I think that's a way also to numb people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just wonder, like, how did these traditions start? They're has to be a reason that
but again, we are the vibration is higher now on the planet, and I think a lot of people are waking up, a lot of people are questioning and finding answers and finding liberation, because it is a different way of living in the world when you, because the need to judge, the need to condemn, the need that disappears, and once you clear that from your mind, you're just so much happier, you know? It's just a different feeling. So that's what I would like to share with people, that they also shed all the programming, right?
Right, right. And I want to tell you, you know, initially when you start doing this, it does feel weird, you know, because you're breaking a habit. And it does. It feels very, very odd. But I could not see myself going back. And now I'm where Marcella's at. I feel totally at peace. I watch it. I observe it. Yeah. Anyway, we would love to hear.
Before you close, for those in our audience who do not know what the Course in Miracles is, the Course in Miracles is channeled spiritual messages from the Ascended Master Jesus. Many question the source of channeled messages, but just keep in mind that a lot of the messages that we have and we believe that are written in the Bible, a lot of those were channeled too. So I would invite them to question why it was okay to believe in channeled messages hundreds of years ago and not in recent years. The Course in Miracles came to us in, I think it was the mid-70s. Well, I could go on and on talking about the Course in Miracles, but for the purpose of this episode, that's what I wanted to say. And if you're interested in learning more about it, there's a lot of resources online. And we also have an episode, I think it was a few months ago, on the Course in Miracles. So feel free to check it out.
Thank you for joining us today. And we would love to hear from you. Follow us, and by all means, comment. Let us know what your thoughts are. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, when we
journey into the vortex.
We hope you have enjoyed today's dialogue. Please do not hesitate to let us know if you have questions, suggestions, or simply want to connect. You can reach us through our website at journeyintothevortex.com, Facebook, or Instagram. We hope you will join us again as we continue this transformative journey into the vortex.